For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's Big Ten Media Week with Isaac and Suk.
This is a tremendous opportunity for everyone in our department.
Brought to you by the Odyssey app. Jump back to earlier parts of your favorite fan shows on the Odyssey app. The only way to rewind Portland's sports leader.
Big Ten Media Week on Primetime with Isaac and Suk on 1080.
We're proud to be here today and receive this invite and look forward to the future.
The Fan.
Keep playing Kiffin.
All right. Welcome back. Hope you're having a nice little Tuesday. It's Rob and Suk, your sports bros, bruh.
Sodded.
Big Suk's right over there.
With right here, dude.
Reading about stormwater and whatnot.
I'm Isachi.
Isachi.
What's going on with stormwater readings over there? What are you learning?
I didn't know a whole lot about stormwater, by the way.
You got to direct it.
Yeah.
Somewhere.
I wasn't familiar with it.
Off your house.
Yeah. I had no idea that was even like a.
Yeah.
That was like its own separate entity.
Yeah.
You learn something new every damn day.
That you do.
Yeah.
Basically, we pay for it to rain around here.
Yes. Which is interesting. I can't say that I knew that.
You could always rent.
Yeah, you could. But then, you know.
Pass the buck.
Some people love it. It's like the people that like lease cars, you know. Just they don't want the hassle. That and buying homes is hard right now. Interest rates.
Coming up this hour, we will discuss Oregon moving to the Big Ten. You know, it is Big Ten Media Day.
Yeah.
Or at least day one of Big Ten Media Day.
Yeah, what they're doing six at a time.
Day two tomorrow.
Yeah.
Day three Thursday.
Football's football, and the only way to get better at it is to play football.
And that will be landing in the Duckies. Will be on Thursday.
And the Huskies. Don't forget about the Huskies.
The Huskies. Yeah, you kind of forget about UW. You know, we talk so much about Oregon, but yeah, the Pac-12 champs that played for the national championship last year, they're in the Big Ten as well. Although I've seen most people have UW like as a 7-8 win team this year.
Yeah, that wouldn't be bad though. I mean, if they win 7 or 8.
I think with the
you're
loss,
expecting more than that?
The loss they had in the transition that they're going through with Fish. I think if you won 8 games and got to a bowl game, I think you're happy if you're UW. And maybe not. I mean,
you thought you were going to suck.
Yeah. I mean, you got gutted there. But I think you ended up with a good coach. The only question is, can you keep your coach? I think if Fish stays at UW with their NIL they have and in the Big Ten, place at the table, UW will be fine.
But we know he's a mover, too.
Yeah, he doesn't stay anywhere.
Well, and that's the terrifying thing is he's a Florida guy. That's where he started, loves Florida.
And that's a hot seat in Gainesville.
And that's a hot seat because Napier's going to get fired. And you want to talk about just what would be devastating for that program is – You beat Oregon 2 years in a row. You play for a national championship. You think you've got your guy in DeBoer. He leaves for Alabama. You get a guy in Fish that you feel really, really good about, and then he leaves a year later for
Florida.
Yeah,
one and done would be painful.
That would be – it would just be ridiculous.
You know the longest place he's been?
What, 3 years?
Yeah, Arizona.
Arizona. So
3 years.
Well, and we've learned – you know, there's most jobs in America are indeed stepping stone jobs. They just are, you know, and Oregon can sit here and bow up their chest and say, we're not a stepping stone job. You have been a stepping stone job. It's just that Lanning chose to stay here. And by the way, he's only been here a couple years. So let's not just automatically assume that he can be here forever. But you have elevated yourself right now where you hope you're not a stepping stone job. But, you know, for places like UW that are really, really good schools, and I'd make the argument there's probably only 15 jobs that are significantly better than UW. Unfortunately, Florida's one of them. And so is Alabama. And that sucks. But that's just the reality. But when you're a school like Washington State, dude, there's 50 jobs that are better than your job. And so that's the real crappy part. We were talking about the Indiana bro. What was that guy's name?
Kurt Cignetti.
Yeah. Who?
He's a pimp.
He's a total pimp. He came into Indiana and is just like, I win wherever I go. And it's
Google
true.
Me, bitch.
Yeah, he said, Google me. Yeah,
Google me. But that's,
and we did.
But that is the truth, is that if he comes Indiana and has a great year, he's gone.
Probably to Washington.
And then the terrifying part is that if he wins at Washington, then he moves on to, you know, to Florida State. You know, there's just not many schools where you feel that your guy is safe and secure. You know, and that's the reality of college football.
Here's all I'll say about Washington, and I don't know anything. You know that. I think Jed Fish is. I think he's a good stopgap, considering the circumstances, but I think these guys that are always moving like this, they have fatal flaws and they know it, and they stay ahead of it. And I just don't think that's a guy that will ever be good enough to stay somewhere like Washington and build something big. I think he's going to be a flash in the pan, just like he was at Arizona, and he's going to move on to the next thing, and he's going to stay ahead of that and move on to the next thing. That's his mojo. So I don't think it's a huge deal if Jed Fish moves on in 2 years. You just hope that he stabilizes things in the meantime in between DeBoer and whoever you get next.
Yeah, well, if you just don't want to be that school because you know, if you get that revolving door, it can be problematic. Although Oregon seems to have landed. They got the revolving door going between Helfrich and then Taggart and Cristobal. Look, I'm not going to say you got lucky. There's more than luck involved, but let's just say you're very fortunate to be where you're at.
100%. The timing and lining up with you getting Dan Lanning and him being the guy for this kind of new NIL transfer portal era, they got incredibly fortunate.
That's the real bitch of college football. Is if you want to say one thing that is the biggest pitfall, I just think it's that. You know, it's not the transfer portal. I mean, NIL, if you don't have your NIL in order, you don't have a chance, but that's a recent phenomenon. The coaching thing has always been there. And it's why the big stay big and the little stay little. It means you can't keep good coaches.
Coming up tonight in the club, something has happened that has us rethinking how life on Earth began.
Ooh, I do love these stories.
So we will get to that, but right now, the Hot 5 at 5.
Oh! Hot topics, hot opinions.
Oh, golly, I'm hot today.
And hot air. It's time for the Hot 5 at 5.
That's hot.
The Hot 5 at 5 on Primetime with Isaac and Sue.
No, I mean it. That's very hot.
The Hot 5 at 5 with Isaac and Sue. Brought to you on the fan by Victor Rico's Mexican Food, the most popular burrito spot in Oregon. Online at victorricos.com. Number five.
Are you ready for the Cade Marlowe era to begin?
Yes.
Say yes.
I did. But I did it with a yes.
The Mariners have placed Julio Rodriguez and J.P. Crawford on the IL. Ty France designated for assignment. So today the club recalled Tyler Locklear, Leo Rivas, and Cade Marlowe.
Is Marlowe like a hot young prospect at least?
I don't know.
Looking him up with the Rainiers.
Paul Skeens Day in Pittsburgh. The Bucks hosting the Cardinals. St. Louis, though, up 1-0. Big fat Lance Lynn having none of the Skeens love.
Yeah,
he is
innings.
Shutting out the Pirates. It is 1-0 in the sixth.
I'm looking up my Marlowe here. See what the hell he's got going on.
I'm guessing not a lot. Otherwise, he would have already been up.
He is a... I actually think this is a pretty exciting and perfect call. So in Triple H Tacoma, he is hitting 235.
Number four.
235?
Hey, that's got to be like 215 in the bigs. And
is it?
He's got 13 homers, 45 RBI.
Back
he's
in
the
April.
Cal Raleigh of Tacoma.
Back in April, the Jets traded a sixth-round pick to the Eagles for pass rusher Hassan Reddick. New York at that time had a window to lock him up to a long-term deal, but they failed to get it done. Now he's unhappy with his contract, and he is skipping camp.
Yeah, he's showing up.
The Jets say they will not reopen negotiations with him unless he returns to camp.
Well, and under the new CBA, dude, he gets fined 50 Gs a day for being gone, and he can't recoup that. You know, it used to be.
So he'll show up.
Well, he should. I mean, he's making,
Jets aren't having it.
Well, he's making $14 million this year. I still find it interesting these teams trade for guys knowing that they want new deals and then are surprised when this happens.
Yeah, right.
It's just silly.
The Jags have signed Tyson Campbell to a four-year, $76 million extension. He, of course, a cornerback, former second-round pick. He will get $53 million guaranteed, and he will be the highest-paid corner that is not a Pro Bowler in NFL history.
Yes. Did anyone else say who today when that name came across?
I was like, what?
Sixth highest paid corner in the NFL.
Know that.
And they're all grouped together. He's like 19.1. The highest is like 20.4. So they're all in the same range.
Niners first round pick, wide receiver Ricky Pearsall. Injured his hamstring away from the team, and he will begin the season on the physically unable to perform list.
The old Great. Pup list.
As for Brandon Ayuk, he is in camp. GM John Lynch saying today that he hopes that Ayuk will be an integral part of the team this season.
And Ayuk also does not want to give up $50,000 a day. Dude, I do not understand these holdouts. All you're doing is cutting off your own nose. Like your big protest is 50 grand a day, as if the team is just like okay. Just sit there and let you rack up $1 million worth of fines.
Patriots coach Gerard Mayo says there's little question who their starting quarterback is. It is not Drake May. It is the great Jacoby Brissett.
So much for Bailey Zappi. Is he still around?
I thought they got rid of Bailey Zappi.
NFL Players Association says it's having high-level conversations with the NFL about an 18-game regular season schedule. This would be something they could corkscrew in before the end of the current CBA, which expires in 2030.
How do they corkscrew that in without the PA vote?
I don't know. Well, there would be a vote, but yeah. I think they're saying that they could just amend the CBA with it.
But I'm fairly certain the players would have to. I mean, the players aren't just going to go along with this unless there's some concessions.
Well, the head cheese of the Players Association said that he will be presenting to them soon. Huh. And yeah, it will be collectively bargained, but they don't have to wait until 2030. Yeah.
I wonder what they're giving up. And I wonder what they're giving up to the players in order to get that 18.
Well, probably a preseason game for sure, right?
Preseason game, but there's got to be something else because, again, it's not like it's more money. I mean, I guess it grows league revenue. It doesn't grow the salary cap, but I mean, your check just gets split another way. I just can't imagine that a ton of players are super geeked about playing 18 games.
Let's do it. That's it, baby. Shot it from the rooftops.
America's number one fighting force.
Number one.
My number one fan.
Number one.
Number one.
And number one, Big Ten Media Day is underway with a giant inflatable Oregon duck floating on the White River in downtown Indianapolis.
It really was. And this says something about who was actually the six teams that were at the Media Day today. No offense to Illinois, but it is sad that the biggest story out of Big Ten Media Day, and I kid you not, is the giant inflatable duck in the river.
Bits. Lots of bits.
Did you see anything else meaningful on Big Ten Media Day?
Well, there was one thing. And it was Commissioner Tony Petitti who announced that the Big Ten title game will remain at Lucas Oil Field until at least 2028. There is some thought that after that, because the Big Ten has added schools from the West, that perhaps the Big Ten championship game will be in Vegas. But at least until 2028, they will keep it in boring-ass Indianapolis.
Lucas Oil, where no one wants to go.
In a dome on the turf.
It's the worst conference championship game there is. And at least this year and the coming years, it won't be such a dud because the problem in the years past with their stupid Legends Leaders division is it was always like Ohio State versus the Iowa, you know, and now they've gotten rid of that and it's the two best teams.
So it'll be Rutgers.
Rutgers, Maryland, I would think.
And Oregon.
Well, and we talked about it. I mean, you could see something like Oregon, Ohio State three times this year. If both those teams have great seasons, you could see Oregon, Ohio State regular season in the Big Ten title game and then in the college football playoff.
Victorico's Mexican food, the most popular burrito spot in Oregon. Order now at victoricos.com. All right, is Oregon ready for the Big Ten? I was inspired by a conversation that I heard on my favorite midday show, Danny and Dusty, yesterday. They were talking about Oregon's move to the Big Ten, and they got me a thinking. And you know what happens when I start thinking?
Oh, boy.
Nothing good.
Segments.
516 on the fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sportsbook on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Yeah, Big Ten Media Day is underway. A couple big interviews here on The Fan today. Yogi Roth and some Wisconsin fatty. I don't know. He's going to go get him one of those Milwaukee Butterhogs.
Oh, look. Taking shots at the Butterhogs.
Well, look, Wisconsin, it's like a source of pride for them. The big fat offensive linemen, they love that.
Why do we have to be fat?
Well, the Wisconsin ones are.
Why can't we be svelte?
Because you're not. You're all a bunch of fat asses. And it's great.
It hurts. That hurts.
But anyway, rough day for Swag out at Big Ten Media Day. Mm. He's going to hopefully bounce back tomorrow.
We're looking for a rebound.
With some more interviews.
Yeah.
But slim pickings
today.
Well,
we're blowing out Colin tomorrow, so I think the pressure really is on Swag.
Danny and Dusty are doing 5 hours tomorrow.
Yeah. So if it's 5 hours and Swag produces Bubkiss, that's... It's going to be a rough look.
They did have the Ohio State AD, Ross Bjork, mm-hmm. sit down at their table,
mm-hmm.
or our table.
Yeah.
And then he got up and left.
Oh. Okay. Well, it's a bit awkward.
Swag charm couldn't hold him, huh?
Well, and I did see Swag tweeted out a photo of our table, and, you know, can he not? Did you see what he did there with the logo?
Here's the situation.
Well, yes, I tweeted at him. I'm like, dude.
Has he never put on a...
I said, Swigard, I saw that photo this morning when I woke up, yeah. And I'm having my morning coffee, and I'm sitting there going, I was stunned, and it took me about 30 minutes to think of what might have been going through his head to put the 1080 the fan table skirt on the way he did.
Yeah.
How far up your ass is your head? I mean, I'm like, dude, what is this?
It looks a little suspect.
A little? Yeah. Who puts a table skirt on that way?
Never seen anything like it.
Well, then he fixed it and tweeted out another picture where it's like, well, why didn't you do that the first time? What is going through your head? How is that the choice?
He put it, we've cleaned it up now that we're settled in.
Jesus, man. Well, there's two tables there.
Yeah.
And so he, in his infinite wisdom, he decided to put it over both tables so that the 1080, it doesn't fit. You can't. So then he just finally took it and put it on one table and then just moved the other table back. It's just like, Jesus, man. It's like dealing with a 3-year-old.
Oh, I just love
what are you thinking?
I just love that our first Big Ten media day is off to a rousing.
It's not going well for 1080 the fans.
To be fair, it sounds like the conference deserves plenty of blame.
And more importantly, Swag did get free beef jerky today, so we're doing great.
The Pac-12 had their stuff together.
Yeah.
The Big Ten does not, and apparently Swigard basically just has to go and grab people and drag them over to our table, and they're all stronger than him, and they are not being dragged.
Yeah, they
don't. Here's the situation.
They don't know who Swag is. none of the hosts are there. It's just an empty table with a headset. It's not going well.
Hold on,
Swag's
everybody.
Swag's probably wearing a bunch of UP Portland gear that they don't. They're like, who that? Well, you know,
he's got to at least be in a 1080 polo, right?
I don't know about that.
Ooh, I don't know. That's another good one. Chances are he's in a 1080 polo or he's in University of Portland or possibly Hillsboro Hops gear.
Well, based on his judgment with the table skirt, I'm guessing he's wearing
UP
gear.
Or possibly like a old hoopla. Let's not discount that.
The Salem hoopla,
or maybe like some sort of radiothon with this Special Olympics hat. No one loves free stuff more than Swag. So let's just hope that he's wearing. Do we even have 1080 the fan polos anymore?
No.
Well,
God, no.
He probably does.
We had a bunch of them back in the day, but
yeah,
it's probably some homeless guy wearing mine. I took him to Goodwill.
I think Jeff Austin still wears his from time to time. I see that on there.
Yeah.
Yeah. He'll show up at a golf tournament wearing the fan
shirt. Well, I was listening to Danny and Dusty yesterday, and they were talking some Big Ten football. And it was an interesting conversation. They were talking about really the most interesting aspect of these West Coast teams joining the Big Ten, and that is just the style differences.
Yeah.
And how cool that's going to be to see, you know, what that does to the Big Ten, how the Pac-12 teams adjust to the Big Ten, and how the Big Ten teams adjust to the Pac-12 team. I mean, Dan Lanning said it. He came out and he said, look, the Pac-12 has the skill guys
mm-hmm.
and the quarterbacks. The Big Ten has the big hog mollies. I believe he called them fatties.
I don't think that's what he said.
No, but he didn't. And then the SEC has both. The SEC has it all.
And that's why the SEC is the best conference.
And that's what he said. And so it is true, like when you think of Big Ten football, you think of big fronts.
Yeah.
And
bad weather in November, running the football.
Yeah, running the football. So then
Iowa punts.
So I was listening to Danny Dusty talk about this, and I got to thinking, and as I was driving in my car, and I thought, wow, you know, what if Oregon goes in there? And just, like, I kept thinking about the Civil War mm-hmm. a couple years ago where Oregon State basically said, you know what we're going to do? We're going to run the ball, and then we're going to run it again, and then we're going to run it again, and then we're going to run it again, and again, and again, and again. We're never going to throw it, and we're going to come back from 80 down and beat you. Do you remember that?
I do remember that.
Well, I got thinking about that going, oh, my God, Oregon State and that team, in fairness— they had a really good run game and a really good offensive line. But they basically Big Ten'd the S out of Oregon to win that Civil War game.
100%.
And so I thought, well, is Oregon really ready for this? So I had to go do some digging on some numbers.
Sure.
Okay. And The answer to the question, is Oregon ready for the Big Ten, is very likely yes. Because I was going back to what Oregon State did to Oregon a few years ago, just running it down their throat. And then I was thinking about Michigan last year and how Michigan beat Penn State. Basically, J.J. McCarthy didn't throw the ball in the second half.
Yeah.
They just said, hey, we're just going to run it down your throat. Stop it. Well, I looked up Penn State. They had the number one rush defense in the nation last year. Mm-hmm. The number one rush defense in the nation. And Michigan just said, stop it. You cannot stop our run.
No.
That's crazy.
Well, and also, too, that you're able to do that when the other team can't score. Like, there's two components to that. Yes. Running the ball down someone's throat is grand and bleeding clock, but you also have your defense bow your back. So, you know, if you're trying to run the ball like that, but you're trailing by 10 points in the game, that doesn't work. That's the Iowa thing. When Iowa is able to drag you into a slugfest, great, but Iowa also gets their ass kicked when the other team can score against you. So,
well, they have a good defense, though.
And that's why Michigan won a national championship, is Michigan's offense was there when they needed it. We saw that. You know, we saw that in the first half against Washington.
But I think with Iowa, I think that's the fun part about watching these West Coast schools in the Big Ten, is how will those offenses look again consistently week in and week out against the Iowas and the Michigans and the Wisconsin defenses.
Yes, absolutely.
It's going to be awesome. But then on the other side, so I was looking at that. Penn State had the number one rush defense in the country. They got torched by Michigan's run, but you're right. They also couldn't move the ball. The second fun fact I looked up was, do you know who the highest ranked Big Ten team in rush yards per game was last year? Because you think of all they do is run the ball.
Yeah, I would assume Michigan. I mean,
it was not.
Was it?
No. It was Nebraska, and they were 34th in the country.
That was the best rushing attack, huh?
Yes, in the entire league.
Well, that surprises me a bit.
So this idea that the Big Ten, oh my God, the rushing attacks, it wasn't that wasn't the case last year. Mm. Fun fact number three is that Oregon last year would have been third in the Big Ten in rush offense. They were ahead of Michigan.
Wow.
Oregon was.
I wouldn't have necessarily thought that, but Oregon, you know, and that's the other one I think that is a misnomer about Oregon over the last handful of years. Dude, Oregon runs the ball. They ran the ball under Mario Cristobal. They certainly run it under Dan Lanning.
Well, they do, but again, I think there's a difference between running the ball in the Pac-12 and running the ball in the Big Ten.
Yeah.
That's the whole fun of this.
Yeah.
So the last fact is CBS Sports did a ranking of each unit in the Big Ten. You care to guess who has the number one offensive line in the Big Ten this year?
I'm guessing Oregon.
It's Oregon.
Yeah.
So the idea of, is Oregon ready for the Big Ten because of, you know, the big offensive lines, the big defensive fronts, running the football? The answer is yes.
Yeah, it is.
They're 100% ready, which is why they're picked to be second to Ohio State in the league.
And most people are picking Ohio State to win a national championship. And, I mean, both teams, by the way, are picked to make the college football playoff. But, and that's something that they've talked about with Lanning when people say, and I totally get it. Again, why is Lanning being considered as one of the elite coaches? He hasn't won anything. And those are all totally fair. It's more of, I think people look at what he took over and what he's building, especially along the lines. Their defensive line and their offensive line are both going to be really good.
Yeah.
And they've killed it in the transfer portal at both of those spots to fill in. And then they've recruited really well.
Well, but this is the fun of going to the Big Ten is that, while their offensive line and defensive lines are both really good, they had Oregon the number one offensive line in the Big Ten. They had Oregon the number four defensive line in the Big Ten.
Yeah.
The beauty of it is they will be tested by two of the better offensive lines and defensive lines in the country in the Big Ten.
Yeah.
When they play Ohio State, well, actually, the Michigan game is really, we're kind of overlooking that game because everybody wants to talk about Ohio State coming to Eugene.
It's first, and it's in Eugene, yeah.
But that Michigan game, November 2nd, mm-hmm. at the Big House, is the number one offensive line versus the number one defensive line.
Yeah.
That's Oregon's offensive line against Michigan's defensive line. Dude, that is going to be a battle.
And I know it's not the same group because so many left for the NFL, but I think we all remember Michigan's defensive line just absolutely hammering both Alabama and UW in last year's playoffs. I mean, that line was really, really special. Yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun, but I just don't think that Oregon is going to get overwhelmed. I know some people are like, well, Oregon's going to lose four games and it's a rude awakening. I think they'll be fine.
Well, I don't know about overwhelmed. They have too much talent to be overwhelmed, but I do think it will be an interesting transition with the styles of play in this league and the weather as the season progresses to see how Oregon handles that.
It is true. Like, we always talk about going, the only real place that's problematic is early in the season in Arizona. Those are hot, but those are always night games. But it's hot playing down in the desert early in the season. And then there's only one treacherous road trip, and that is late in the season up in Pullman. And the Big Ten is littered with those. If you think Pullman in November is hard, wait till you go to Camp Randall and you go to some of these other places. So, I mean, Michigan, you know, late in the year, it will be a different style. And again, that's where it comes in. It behooves you to be physical. And I think that's the idea in the Big Ten. It's the same thing when you play, you know, in some of the northern cities in the NFL. You have to be able to be physical and run the ball, because throwing the ball is challenging late in the year. And I think this Oregon team is uniquely built to hit the ground running, as opposed to maybe some of the other versions of it. Because it may be known as a real flashy kind of, it's all flash, no substance. But when you look at the history of Oregon, look at their old linemen and the running backs that they have produced over the last 15 years.
Well, I think, too, that's gotten a lot better with Lanning. Lanning comes from the SEC. He
knows.
And it's been building. But when Chip had this thing rolling, they're way better in the trenches now than they were then.
Yes.
And that's part of you got to give Cristobal
credit.
Some credit for that.
Lanning
has built upon that.
Yes, Cristobal came in and said specifically, dude, we need to get better up front, because he also came from the SEC.
Yeah.
And Lanning has built upon
that. And he was an offensive lineman. He recruited some offensive. But Lanning has added to that, and they are just way better suited against the big boys of college football now than they ever were.
Yes.
Which is why everyone has such faith in them. But I just think it's going to be interesting, the week in and week out stuff. Yeah. You know, it's like, Ohio State, Michigan, but you also play at Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, Illinois, Maryland, I'm not saying these teams are going to beat you, but look, even in the Pac-12, you would have close games. They played a close game with Washington State last year.
Yep.
Is that any different than than Illinois? Or, you know.
Well, and we've had this conversation with Joey. You know, we can go back and forth on which one is the tougher run, and now you kind of get to see it, right? Like, you don't get to see Arizona, you don't get to see Utah, but you do get to see Wisconsin, and you get to see, Purdue, or you get to see Illinois or Northwestern or any of these schools, and it'll be interesting to see how this goes. I am really excited to just see different teams.
Yeah, it's the styles.
The styles.
That's the fun of it, I think, is the styles make fights, and just the flash and the skill of the Pac-12 meeting up with and marrying the big fronts of the Big Ten and the little bit more smash mouth physical football. Yeah. It's going to be awesome.
And by the way, if Wisconsin goes, because you're in Wisconsin, if Wisconsin, you know, bullies you around, then that's going to be a bit of a wake-up call. And by the way, that very well could happen.
But that's later in the year.
It's later in the year. So that's what I'm saying. You know, maybe that does happen. And then you have to take a step back and be like, man, we need to reevaluate that. Which is why it's so fun going into the season, because there's so many unknowns. We just don't know how the stylistically these things are going to line up.
Well, I'll give you the rest of the CBS Sports did the Big Ten position and coach rankings for 2024, all 18 teams. And we'll see where Oregon ranked in each one when we return. But first, Buck with SportsCenter. Well, I was kind of right. Brian Reynolds did not hit a home run.
No, he did not.
But the Pirates have tied it up.
Yeah, so Skeens will be off the hook. I can't imagine he's going to pitch in the ninth. They haven't even let him pitch into the ninth with no hitters.
I think his pitch count's really low tonight, though. It's only like 91, so maybe.
So Skeens right now with a no decision.
So CBS Sports ranked QB, skill position, O-line, D-line, linebacker, DB, and coach for each Big Ten team. As we mentioned, Oregon is the number one offensive line in the Big Ten. Ohio State 2, Penn State 3. QB, Oregon number 1.
Yeah.
Dylan Gabriel.
Well, there's not a lot of, when you look at the Big Ten, I mean, Ohio State, who's being picked to win the national championship by a lot of places. I mean, Will Howard, who was a good quarterback at Kansas State, but it's not Joe Burrow or anything. I mean,
he's not even number 2.
You know, Michigan's got a brand new one.
Who's Michigan's quarterback?
They got that young kid. I mean, there could be multiple that play. He's got a little bit of a weird name.
They've got Aiden Childs ahead of him.
Yeah, Aiden Childs at Michigan State, so he's a freshman. Well, I guess he'd be a. Is he a redshirt freshman?
Yes.
I don't think he burned a year in the few games he played. So obviously, him coming over from Oregon State. Gosh, I keep forgetting the Michigans. I just had it in front of me.
A kid named Kurt Campbell. Oh no, that's the offensive coordinator. Never mind.
No, it's not Campbell.
I'm trying to find out too.
Buck in his $7 shorts over there.
That's right.
Jim Buck's wearing $7 shorts.
That's right.
Where do you buy $7 shorts?
Yes. We talked about this. Where do you think?
Oh, did you buy Costco shorts?
I sure did, and they're fantastic.
He loves them.
Oh, for God's sakes. No, it's Alex Orji. And that may be, you know, it's O-R-J-I. But
how else would you say that, though?
Is his name Orji? Alex Orji?
Or hi? Or he?
Yeah, and he's a big kid. He's like Cam Newton size. He's like 6'3", 230.
That he sucks.
Dual threat kid out of Texas. So I think he's won the job or is expected to win the job, but there could be others that go.
So they've got Michigan ninth at quarterback. So the top quarterback is Oregon, 2, Penn State, Drew Aller, and 3, Ohio State.
Well, and that's another one, too, in that Aller was supposed to be, like, last year the idea was that the only thing Penn State has lacked is a big-time quarterback, and Aller was this 5-star kid. He sucked. I don't know if anyone watched him play, but every time I tuned into Penn State, he was terrible, including that game against Michigan where Michigan refused to throw the ball because they didn't have to because Penn State could do nothing. So maybe he has a breakout year, but, dude, he was not some sort of phenom last year. And so they just the quarterback play in the Big Ten is not great. You know, so that's one thing that with USC and with Oregon and UW coming over, when you look at the history of quarterback play, the Big Ten better adjust because there's real quarterbacks that are coming from the West. UCLA, maybe not so much.
Skill positions, Oregon number 1 in the Big Ten.
Yeah.
Ohio State 2, Penn State 3. We mentioned offensive line. Defensive line, Oregon ranks 4th. The top defensive line in the league is Ohio State. Mm-hmm. Number 2, Michigan. Number 3, Penn State. Then you get to linebacker. Oregon ranks 5th.
Yeah, that would probably, if you're looking at a weak spot on the Oregon defense, it would be a linebacker.
Number 1, Iowa.
Well, again, no surprise there. I'm surprised Oregon's not, or Iowa's not higher because their defense is good every single year.
Number 2, Penn State. 3, Ohio State. Then you go to DB, and Oregon is 4th, Ohio State 1st, followed by Iowa, and then Michigan. And then last is coach, and they have Ryan Day number 1, Dan Lanning number 2.
So Lanning ahead of like James Franklin. And while I do like Dan Lanning, that's where
might be a little too much.
I think some of that Lanning stuff is a bit much. I really like Dan Lanning.
They don't even have James Franklin 3rd.
Who do they have as 3rd? Are you going Ferentz? Are you going Bielema?
Lincoln Riley?
Oh, yeah, yep. Lincoln Riley.
Lincoln Riley.
And by the way, yeah, I know some of the shines come off Lincoln Riley. He hasn't been terrible at USC, and he was really good at Oklahoma, although I think there's some pressure. The next year or two for USC is pretty big because USC is kind of an afterthought right now.
Something seems like it's not right there. They're complaining about not being able to get recruits. It's like, do you guys not have money? Why?
It hasn't been great. And now you're going into the Big Ten, and I think they were picked 5th, right, in the Big Ten media polls, if I'm not mistaken.
USC was 6th, I think.
They were 6th?
They were behind Iowa.
So, dude, like, that's not where you want to be. Like, if you're USC and like you were going to make this big splash and you didn't want Oregon to join the Big Ten and now Oregon's in the Big Ten and they're taking all your thunder, I just think it's a weird time at USC. And I'm not saying that Lincoln Riley is on a hot seat or anything, but I think this is a pretty big year for him. Because if you go into the Big Ten and you get drubbed and you end up finishing, I don't know, let's say you end up 8-4 or something like that, not certain how long the goodwill at USC is going to be built up, because you just had supposedly this generational player and Heisman Trophy winner and Caleb Williams, and it really didn't lead to a whole lot of anything. Got your ass kicked in the Pac-12 title game 2 years ago by Utah.
Your defense has been an absolute sieve. You're ripping through coordinators.
Yeah, and now you go out and you spend this money, you go out and get UCLA's coordinator, and supposedly everything was going to change, but you can't get any defensive recruits now. They seem to be leaving in spades, and you're going into the Big Ten, and again, you're an afterthought. So just keep an eye on that.
Problem for Jonathan Smith. His offensive line ranks 15th in the league, and his defensive line 16th.
The only thing I'll say about Jonathan Smith at Michigan State is what he did at Oregon State, he does that at Michigan State, they're going to be a tough out in a couple years. Michigan State has way more resources. It's a better recruiting bed. And Michigan State has been a proven winner. You know, people forget that when you look through the Big Ten championships over the last 15 years, the one outlier in there is Michigan State that did it three times.
They popped up there a lot.
Michigan State had a run there under D'Antonio. That was a sneaky good program. I mean, they bitch slapped Michigan. They owned Michigan for like 6 years where they were the big brother in that matchup. And then it kind of fell off a little bit and he lost some coordinators and, you know, and obviously they've gone a different direction. But dude, Michigan State has resources. So just Jonathan Smith, much like he did at Oregon State, got no fanfare, no nothing. And he just kind of built that thing and built that thing and built that thing. And by the way, he beat Dan Lanning, you know, with a team that was inferior to him. So don't write off. In fact, I was looking at some Big Ten predictions. Someone had like 10 storylines, and they called it flat out. They said that Michigan State is going to beat one of the big three. He'll call it a shot right now. They said, all Jonathan Smith does is win games that he shouldn't win and build good programs, and he's got Aiden Childs, and it's a transfer portal-heavy roster, which is what happened with Mel Tucker. Brought in a lot of transfers, and they just said Michigan State's not going to be great, but that's one of their predictions is they'll get a pelt on the wall. So don't sleep on Jonathan Smith at Michigan State. I know everyone loves to make fun of him for leaving Oregon State, but there's a reason why he left. Michigan State is an underrated program. Michigan State's a lot closer to Wisconsin than it is to Oregon State.
Boy, this scene in Pittsburgh is wild. Skeens is in there in the ninth. They just threw out a guy trying to stretch to a double at second, although I think he was safe. But he's at 97 pitches, and he's pitching the night. The crowd's going nuts. It's a cool game.
Well,
tied 1-1.
And Skeens is one of those guys now that, whether it's your team or not, like the other team cheers for him.
Yeah.
Like Skeens is must-see TV.
Yeah, oh, yeah, he's safe. He's safe 100%. For sure. If you're wondering about Washington real quick, they're ranking all 18 teams in the Big Ten. Washington's best rank is fifth at QB.
Yeah.
And they're about middle of the pack everywhere else, ninth in coach.
See, that's another one, too, that I find weird. So Will Rogers, who is one of the all-time career leaders, if not, I think he might be the all-time leading passing leader, yards-wise, in the SEC. He's fifth?
Yeah, they got him fifth. USC fourth.
So they got Aiden Childs ahead of...
No, Childs was eighth.
Oh, Childs was eighth.
Yeah.
So that's...
So it goes Oregon, Oregon, Penn State,
yeah.
Ohio State, USC, and Washington.
See, that's just... That's silly that you have Drew Aller over Will Rogers. It's just incorrect. That's just dumb. All that is you're saying the one... He was a five-star kid and he plays at Penn State, therefore he's a better quarterback. Because it's just not true.
And then UCLA, terrible. I mean, they're bottom of the barrel at pretty much everything.
Well, I mean, the dirty little secret is, do Chip Kelly tank that program on purpose out of spite? I mean, I know that's it's a weird thing to say, but it's the truth.
He wanted out so bad he just stopped doing his job.
Yes. Yes. He quiet quit at UCLA making whatever it was, like $6 million a year. And Ryan Day came out today and said that he trusts Chip Kelly with his life.
What a quote. I heard that too. I'm like, wait, I mean, you don't have to go that far, do you?
No, I'll tell you what. I mean,
you guys shut up.
I mean, I guess he trusts Ryan Day, but hopefully Chip doesn't get disinterested because I've never seen a coach quiet quit like that. I mean, we've seen coaches quit. Look at Gary Anderson. But to just stop recruiting, to just stop and be like, no, I'm not doing this.
Shut up.
While interviewing for every job, I mean, he left UCLA in shambles. And it's not like UCLA, by the way, has ever... Like, when's the last time UCLA was really relevant? I mean, maybe Mora, you know, winning 8-9 games a year and getting your ass kicked in a Pac-12 title game.
I thought Dorian Thompson-Robinson won 10 games at one point.
Maybe with a bowl game.
Yeah.
And Jim Moore won like 9 games for like 3 years in a row. Dude, UCLA is not a traditionally great program, and now you're going into the Big Ten, and you have to split some of your money with Cal. Remember that you got to write that check. So
Chip never won 10 there.
No, no. So I feel bad for UCLA. UCLA is just going to go in there, and they were an afterthought in the Pac-12. They're going to be an afterthought in the Big Ten.
All right, we will wrap up Big Ten Media Day talk. Coming up next on The Fan. Tomorrow, too early to get to some Big Ten football betting lines? Probably not.
Not at all.
Let's
never.
Go.
Never.
That'll be tomorrow. But we're out of time now. So, F off.
Sorry, I was busy.
What are you doing over there?
Oh, someone was trying to defend
you. You looking
Drew
at $7
Aller
shorts?
And no. What brand are those, by the way? Are those the Spider brand at Costco?
Couldn't begin to tell you. Not Spider. I would have to take them off and look. I don't know.
Let's take them off.
Good old, yeah.
I can do that. I mean, everything's above the waist in here.
Take them off for YouTube, man.
I can.
Give the people what they want.
I will.
Oh, I had someone defending Drew Aller, and I had to go back.
Drew Aller.
Yeah. Let me just point out that, you know, because someone, he threw 25 touchdowns to 2 interceptions last year.
He did?
Yeah.
Oh, that's pretty good.
Let me point out, in their 3 losses, which, by the way, were the only 3 good teams they played all year, I guess if you want to give them the win over Iowa, although Iowa scored 0 points. And Drew Aller threw for 166 yards in that game. But against Ole Miss...
That's good in the Big Ten.
That's good in the Big Ten. How's this grab you? 19 for 39. That's 48% completion percentage. 2 touchdowns and a pick. Against Michigan, how does a 10 of 22 grab you? Does that do a whole lot? Care to guess how many yards he threw for in that Michigan game?
7.
86.
70 yards. And then in the loss to Ohio State, where their defense held them to 20 points, how's 18 of 42 grab you for a whopping 191 yards?
Isn't his thing that he's like, isn't he like, who was the stupid Penn State quarterback a couple years ago that Trent Dilfer loved?
Trace McSorley?
Trace McSorley?
No.
McSorley was a little dude that ran around.
No.
He was a big old guy.
He was, I know, that's what I'm saying.
Oh, Hackenberg.
Yes.
Yeah.
So it's
Christian
it's,
Hackenberg.
People exactly. fall in love with they're the prototype. Like, yes. Allard is like 6'5".
Yeah, he's a big 6'5", 240.
Big arm. That was the way Hackenberg was. Yeah. And that guy was terrible. He was terrible in college, terrible in the NFL.
I never understood it. I don't know what it is with Penn State quarterbacks where you try to make them better than they are. So, like, he brought up, like, I'm sorry, go look at Will Rogers' numbers at Mississippi State and tell me that Drew Aller's better. And like I said, maybe he has a breakout year. But I was told last year that this was the final piece to Penn State's puzzle and that Drew Aller was the quarterback that was going to put him over the hump. And I'm sorry, but in those 3 games, which were the only 3 games that mattered, he did nothing. And I mean nothing. The only other game that they played against a ranked team was Iowa, which, again, they won 31-0. He threw for 166 yards. So, pardon me if I don't buy that Drew Aller is the answer to Penn State's needs at quarterback. This is my when you're at Penn State, and this is the same thing at Oregon, when you're at Michigan, you're at Ohio State, I only judge you off of 3 games.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sportsbook on a 78-million-pixel, 3-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Well, I was kind of right. Brian Reynolds did not hit a home run.
No, he did not.
But the Pirates have tied it up.
Yeah. So Skeens will be off the hook. I can't imagine he's going to pitch in the ninth. They haven't even let him pitch into the ninth with no hitters.
I think his pitch count's really low tonight, though. It's only like 91, so maybe.
So Skeens right now with a no decision.
So CBS Sports ranked QB, skill position, O-line, D-line, linebacker, DB, and coach for each Big Ten team. As we mentioned, Oregon is the number one offensive line in the Big Ten. Ohio State 2, Penn State 3. QB, Oregon number one.
Yeah.
Dylan Gabriel.
Well, there's not a lot of, when you look at the Big Ten, I mean, Ohio State, who's being picked to win the national championship by a lot of places. I mean, Will Howard, who was a good quarterback at Kent State, but let's, you know, it's not Joe Burrow or anything. I mean,
he's not even number two.
You know, Michigan's got a brand new one.
Who's Michigan's quarterback?
They got that young kid. I mean, there could be multiple that play. He's got a little bit of a weird name.
They've got Aiden Childs ahead of him.
Yeah, Aiden Childs at Michigan State, so he's a freshman. Well, I guess he'd be a. Is he a redshirt freshman?
Yes.
I don't think he burned a year in the few games he played. So obviously, him coming over from Oregon State. Gosh, I keep forgetting the Michigans. I just had it in front of me.
A kid named Kurt Campbell. Oh no, that's the offensive coordinator. Never mind.
No, it's not Campbell.
Trying to find out too.
Buck in his $7 shorts over there.
That's right.
Jim Buck's wearing $7 shorts.
That's right.
Where do you buy $7 shorts?
Guess. We talked about this. Where do you think?
Oh, did you buy Costco shorts?
I sure did, and they're fantastic.
He loves them.
Oh, for God's sakes! No, it's Alex Orji.
And
that may be, you know, it's O R J I.
But how else would you say that though?
Is his name Orji? Alex Orji?
Or hi? Or he?
Yeah, and he's a big kid. He's like Cam Newton size. He's like 6'3", 230.
That sucks.
Dual threat kid out of Texas. So I think he's won the job or is expected to win the job, but there could be others that go.
So they've got Michigan ninth at quarterback. So the top quarterback is Oregon, 2, Penn State, Drew Aller, and 3, Ohio State.
Well, and that's another one, too, in that Aller was supposed to be like, last year the idea was that the only thing Penn State has lacked is a big-time quarterback, and Aller was this 5-star kid. He sucked. I don't know if anyone watched him play, but every time I tuned into Penn State, he was terrible, including that game against Michigan where Michigan refused to throw the ball because they didn't have to because Penn State could do nothing. So maybe he has a breakout year, but, dude, he was not some sort of phenom last year. And so they just the quarterback play in the Big Ten is not great. You know, so that's one thing that with USC and with Oregon and UW coming over, when you look at the history of quarterback play, the Big Ten better adjust because there's real quarterbacks that are coming from the West. UCLA, maybe not so much.
Skill positions, Oregon number one in the Big Ten.
Yeah.
Ohio State 2, Penn State 3. We mentioned offensive line. Defensive line, Oregon ranks 4th. The top defensive line in the league is Ohio State. Mm-hmm. Number 2, Michigan. Number 3, Penn State. Then you get to linebacker. Oregon ranks 5th.
Yeah, that would probably, if you're looking at a weak spot on the Oregon defense, it would be a linebacker.
Number 1, Iowa.
Well, again, no surprise there. I'm surprised Iowa is not higher because their defense is good every single year.
Number 2, Penn State. 3, Ohio State. Then you go to DB, and Oregon is 4th, Ohio State 1st, followed by Iowa, and then Michigan. And then last is coach, and they have Ryan Day number 1, Dan Lanning number 2.
So Lanning ahead of like James Franklin. And while I do like Dan Lanning, that's where
might be a little too much.
I think some of that Lanning stuff is a bit much. I really like Dan Lanning.
They don't even have James Franklin 3rd.
Who do they have as third? Are you going Ferentz? Are you going Bielema?
Lincoln Riley?
Oh, yeah, yep. Lincoln Riley.
Lincoln Riley.
And by the way, yeah, I know some of the shines come off Lincoln Riley. He hasn't been terrible at USC, and he was really good at Oklahoma, although I think there's some pressure. The next year or two for USC is pretty big because USC is kind of an afterthought right now.
Something seems like it's not right there. They're complaining about not being able to get recruits. It's like, do you guys not have money? Why?
It hasn't been great. And now you're going into the Big Ten, and I think they were picked fifth, right, in the Big Ten media polls, if I'm not mistaken.
USC was six, I think.
They were six?
They were behind Iowa.
So, like, that's not where you want to be. Like, if you're USC and like, you were going to make this big splash and you didn't want Oregon to join the Big Ten, and now Oregon's in the Big Ten and they're taking all your thunder, I just think it's a weird time at USC. And I'm not saying that Lincoln Riley is on a hot seat or anything, but I think this is a pretty big year for him. Because if you go into the Big Ten and you get drubbed and you end up finishing, I don't know, let's say you end up 8-4 or something like that, not certain how long the goodwill at USC is going to be built up, because you just had supposedly this generational player and Heisman Trophy winner and Caleb Williams, and it really didn't lead to a whole lot of anything. Got your ass kicked in the Pac-12 title game 2 years ago by Utah.
Your defense has been an absolute sieve. You're ripping through coordinators.
Yeah, and now you go out and you spend this money, you go out and get UCLA's coordinator, and supposedly everything was going to change, but you can't get any defensive recruits now. They seem to be leaving in spades, and you're going into the Big Ten, and again, you're an afterthought. So just keep an eye on that.
Problem for Jonathan Smith. His offensive line ranks 15th in the league, and his defensive line 16th.
The only thing I'll say about Jonathan Smith at Michigan State is what he did at Oregon State, he does that at Michigan State, they're going to be a tough out in a couple years. Michigan State has way more resources. It's a better recruiting bed, and Michigan State has been a proven winner. People forget that when you look through the Big Ten championships over the last 15 years, the one outlier in there is Michigan State that did it three times.
They popped up there a lot.
Michigan State had a run there under D'Antonio. That was a sneaky good program. I mean, they bitch slapped Michigan. They owned Michigan for like 6 years where they were the big brother in that matchup. And then it kind of fell off a little bit, and he lost some coordinators, and obviously they've gone a different direction. But, dude, Michigan State has resources. So just Jonathan Smith, much like he did at Oregon State, got no fanfare, no nothing, and he just kind of built that thing and built that thing and built that thing. And by the way, he beat Dan Lanning. With a team that was inferior to him. So don't write off. In fact, I was looking at some Big Ten predictions. Someone had like 10 storylines, and they called it flat out. They said that Michigan State is going to beat one of the big three. He'll call it a shot right now. He said, all Jonathan Smith does is win games that he shouldn't win and build good programs. And he's got Aiden Childs, and it's a transfer portal heavy roster, which is what happened with Mel Tucker. Brought in a lot of transfers, and they just said Michigan State's not going to be great, but that's one of their predictions is they'll get a pelt on the wall. So don't sleep on Jonathan Smith at Michigan State. I know everyone loves to make fun of him for leaving Oregon State, but there's a reason why he left. Michigan State is an underrated program. Michigan State's a lot closer to Wisconsin than it is to Oregon State.
Boy, this scene in Pittsburgh is wild. Skeens is in there in the ninth. They just threw out a guy trying to stretch to a double at second, although I think he was safe. But he's at 97 pitches, and he's pitching the night. The crowd's going nuts. It's a cool game.
Well,
tied 1-1.
And Skeens is one of those guys now that, whether it's your team or not, like the other team cheers for him.
Yeah.
Like Skeens is must-see TV.
Yeah, oh, yeah, he's safe. He's safe 100%. For sure. If you're wondering about Washington real quick, they're ranking all 18 teams in the Big Ten. Washington's best rank is fifth at QB.
Yeah.
And they're about middle of the pack everywhere else, ninth in coach.
See, that's another one, too, that I find weird. So Will Rogers, who is one of the all-time career leaders, if not, I think he might be the all-time leading passing leader, yards-wise, in the SEC. He's fifth?
Yeah, they got him fifth. USC fourth.
So they got Aiden Childs ahead of...
No, Childs was eighth.
Oh, Childs was eighth.
Yeah.
So that's...
So it goes Oregon, Oregon, Penn State,
yeah.
Ohio State, USC, and Washington.
See, that's silly that you have Drew Aller over Will Rogers. It's just incorrect. That's just dumb. All that is you're saying he was a five-star kid and he plays at Penn State, therefore he's a better quarterback, because it's just not true.
And then UCLA, terrible. I mean, they're bottom of the barrel at pretty much everything.
Well, I mean, the dirty little secret is, do Chip Kelly tank that program on purpose out of spite? I mean, I know it's a weird thing to say, but it's the truth.
He wanted out so bad he just stopped doing his job.
Yes. Yes. He quiet quit. at UCLA making whatever it was, like $6 million a year. And Ryan Day came out today and said that he trusts Chip Kelly with his life.
What a quote. I heard that too. I'm like, wait, I mean, you don't have to go that far, do you?
No, I'll tell you what. I mean,
you guys shut up.
I mean, I guess he trusts Ryan Day, but hopefully Chip doesn't get disinterested, because I've never seen a coach quiet quit like that. I mean, we've seen coaches quit. Look at Gary Anderson, but to just stop recruiting, to just stop and be like, no, I'm not doing this.
Shut up.
While interviewing for every job. I mean, he left UCLA in shambles. And it's not like UCLA, by the way, has ever, like, when's the last time UCLA was really relevant? I mean, maybe Mora, you know, winning 8-9 games a year and getting your ass kicked in a Pac-12 title game.
I thought Dorian Thompson-Robinson won 10 games at one point.
Maybe with a bowl game.
Yeah.
And Jim Mora won like 9 games for like 3 years in a row. Dude, UCLA is not a traditionally great program, and now you're going into the Big Ten, and you have to split some of your money with Cal. Remember, you got to write that check.
So, Chip never won 10 there.
No. So I feel bad for UCLA. UCLA is just going to go in there, and they were an afterthought in the Pac-12. They're going to be an afterthought in the Big Ten.
All right. We will wrap up Big Ten Media Day talk coming up next on The Fan. Tomorrow, too early to get to some Big Ten football betting lines? Probably not.
Not at all.
Let's
never.
Go.
Never.
That'll be tomorrow. But we're out of time now. So, F off.
Sorry, I was busy.
What are you doing over there?
Oh, someone was trying to defend Drew.
You looking at $7
Aller
shorts?
And no. What brand are those, by the way? Are those the Spider brand at Costco?
Couldn't begin to tell you. Not Spider. I would have to take them off and look. I don't know.
Let's take them off.
Good old, yeah.
I can do that. Everything's take above the waist in here.
Take them off for YouTube, man.
I can.
Give the people what they want.
I will.
Oh, I had someone defending Drew Aller, and I had to go back.
Drew Aller.
Yeah. Let me just point out that, you know, because someone, he threw 25 touchdowns to 2 interceptions last year.
He did?
Yeah.
Oh, that's pretty good.
Let me point out, in their 3 losses, which, by the way, were the only 3 good teams they played all year, I guess if you want to give them the win over Iowa, although Iowa scored 0 points. And Drew Aller threw for 166 yards in that game. But against Ole Miss.
That's good in the Big Ten.
How's this grab you? 19 for 39. That's 48% completion percentage. 2 touchdowns and a pick. Against Michigan, how does a 10 of 22 grab you? Does that do a whole lot? Care to guess how many yards he threw for in that Michigan game?
7.
86.
70 yards. And then in the loss to Ohio State, where their defense held them to 20 points, how's 18 of 42 grab you for a whopping 191 yards?
Isn't his thing that he's like, isn't he like, who was the stupid Penn State quarterback a couple years ago that Trent Dilfer loved?
Trace McSorley?
Trace McSorley?
No.
McSorley was a little dude that ran around.
No.
He was a big old guy.
He was, I know, that's what I'm saying.
Oh, Hackenberg.
Yes.
Yeah.
So it's
Christian
it's,
Hackenberg.
It's people exactly. fall in love with they're the prototype. Like, yes. Allard is like 6'5".
Yeah, he's a big 6'5", 240.
Big arm. That was the way Hackenberg was. Yeah. And that guy was terrible. He was terrible in college, terrible in the NFL.
I never understood it. I don't know what it is with Penn State quarterbacks where you try to make them better than they are. So, like, he brought up, like, I'm sorry, go look at Will Rogers' numbers at Mississippi State and tell me that Drew Aller's better. And like I said, maybe he has a breakout year. But I was told last year that this was the final piece to Penn State's puzzle and that Drew Aller was the quarterback that was going to put him over the hump. And I'm sorry, but in those 3 games, which were the only 3 games that mattered, he did nothing. And I mean nothing. The only other game that they played against a ranked team was Iowa, which, again, they won 31-0. He threw for 166 yards. So, pardon me if I don't buy that Drew Aller is the answer to Penn State's needs at quarterback. This is my when you're at Penn State, and it's the same thing at Oregon, when you're at Michigan, you're at Ohio State, I only judge you off of 3 games, which is why I was a little like Heisman trophies and sometimes numbers can be overinflated when you play at these schools. Like, if you're at LSU and you throw for 500 yards and 5 touchdowns against Vanderbilt, and then you do it against South Carolina, but the 3 games you play against Alabama, Georgia, and I don't know, Tennessee, you don't win those games, I don't care what you do the rest of the time. You're at certain schools, you are there not to beat the Indianas and the Iowas of the world. You're there to beat Ohio State. And I think that's like a Dylan Gabriel thing. Like, if you're Oregon and Dylan Gabriel runs roughshod over the Big Ten, but he doesn't show up against Ohio State and Michigan, what do you think of Dylan Gabriel? I expect more out of quarterbacks when you're supposedly a top 10 team in the country.
Well, Skeens gave it up. Cardinals lead 2-1.
Yeah.
In the top of the ninth, they pulled him.
You wonder if he should have been in the top of the ninth.
Well, he finished with 104 pitches.
Most of the season, right?
What?
He hasn't had 100 pitches all year, has he?
Oh, I don't know.
Because they yanked him a couple times with no hitters.
Yeah, I think he had 99 the last no hitter that they pulled him. But I don't think he's gone over 100.
But in this instance, he gave up the run. And so they're like, all right, you're done. So Cardinals 2-1. And they're headed to the bottom of the ninth.
And during this conversation, I did take my pants off in here. I checked the label, and I'm wearing Glacier performance shorts. Oh. So when I go hiking around glaciers, I'll be
someone was
outfitted.
Hoping they were hang 10
They're
shorts
not hang 10s?
They're not. They're Glacier performance.
Glacier performance, $6.99. That's how Costco gets you.
Yeah.
I tried to see if they're still on Costco.com. No, they are not.
You can't afford not to buy them. They're so cheap.
That's right. Very comfortable.
He loves them.
I do.
You know what I love? The Mets being up on the Yankees.
Well, I was tailgating him to the bathroom. Yeah. They do look nice.
Yeah, they look really nice.
I was
nice
looking at his
shorts.
Butt.
Yeah, they framed it just right.
Yeah. The dad bod's looking good in those $7 shorts.
I got a solid lower half, and these fit just right. I got a solid upper half, too.
Look, Buck's all man. That's all you need to know. That's this confident man right there in his Hang 10 shorts, his Subaru Outback.
Glacier performance.
It's funnier with Hang 10.
I know.
Maybe some body glove.
I don't think there's anything performance about those.
They're performing on these thighs.
Those milky,
no, they're not.
Those milky white thighs are going to perform tonight when his wife sees them.
Hey-o.
All right, we've got, so we've got virus news.
Oh.
And rethinking how life on Earth began.
I've been doing this a lot lately.
Scientists.
Aliens.
So we'll get to that next. 6 o'clock on The Fan.
Those scientists better check their hypotenuses, dude.
Tomorrow, too early to get to some Big Ten football betting lines? Probably not.
Not at all.
Let's
never.
Go. That'll be tomorrow. But we're out of time now. So F off.
Sorry, I was busy.
What are you doing over there?
Oh, someone was trying to defend
you. Looking
Drew
at $7
Aller
shorts?
And no. What brand are those, by the way? Are those the Spider brand at Costco?
Couldn't begin to tell you. Not Spider. I would have to take them off and look. I don't know.
Let's take them off.
Good old, yeah.
I can do that. Everything's
take
above the waist in here.
Take them off for YouTube, man.
I can.
Give the people what they want.
I will.
Oh, I had someone defending Drew Aller, and I had to go back.
Drew Aller.
Yeah. Let me just point out that, you know, because someone, he threw 25 touchdowns to 2 interceptions last year.
He did?
Yeah.
Oh, that's pretty good.
Let me point out in their 3 losses, which, by the way, were the only 3 good teams they played all year. I guess if you want to give them the win over Iowa, although Iowa scored 0 points. And Drew Aller threw for 166 yards in that game. But against Ole Miss.
That's good in the Big Ten.
That's good in the Big Ten. How's this grab you? 19 for 39. That's 48% completion percentage. 2 touchdowns and a pick. Against Michigan, how does a 10 of 22 grab you? That do a whole lot? Care to guess how many yards he threw for in that Michigan game?
7.
86.
70 yards. And then in the loss to Ohio State, where their defense held them to 20 points, how's 18 of 42 grab you for a whopping 191 yards?
Isn't his thing that he's like, isn't he like, who was the stupid Penn State quarterback a couple years ago that Trent Dilfer loved?
Trace McSorley?
Trace McSorley?
No.
McSorley was a little dude that ran around.
No.
Aller's he was a big old guy.
He was, I know, that's what I'm saying.
Oh, Hackenberg.
Yes.
Yeah.
So it's
Christian
it's,
Hackenberg.
It's people exactly. fall in love with they're the prototype. Like, yes. Aller is like 6'5".
Yeah, he's a big 6'5", 240.
Big arm. That was the way Hackenberg was. Yeah. And that guy was terrible. He's terrible in college, terrible in the NFL.
I never understood it. I don't know what it is with Penn State quarterbacks where you try to make them better than they are. So, like, he brought up, like, I'm sorry, go look at Will Rogers' numbers at Mississippi State and tell me that Drew Aller's better. And like I said, maybe he has a breakout year. But I was told last year that this was the final piece to Penn State's puzzle and that Drew Aller was the quarterback that was going to put him over the hump. And I'm sorry, but in those 3 games, which were the only 3 games that mattered, he did nothing. And I mean nothing. The only other game that they played against a ranked team was Iowa, which again, they won 31-0. He threw for 166 yards. So pardon me if I don't buy that Drew Aller is the answer to Penn State's needs at quarterback. This is my, when you're at Penn State, and it's the same thing at Oregon, when you're at Michigan, you're at Ohio State, I only judge you off of three games, which is why I was a little like, Heisman trophies and sometimes numbers can be overinflated when you play at these schools. Like if you're at LSU and you throw for 500 yards and five touchdowns against Vanderbilt, and then you do it against South Carolina, but the three games you play against Alabama, Georgia, and I don't know, Tennessee, you don't win those games. I don't care what you do the rest of the time. You're at certain schools. You are there not to beat the Indianas and the Iowas of the world. You're there to beat Ohio State. And I think that's like a Dylan Gabriel thing. Like if you're Oregon and Dylan Gabriel runs roughshod over the Big Ten, but he doesn't show up against Ohio State and Michigan, what do you think of Dylan Gabriel? I expect more out of quarterbacks when you're supposedly a top 10 team in the country.
Well, Skeens gave it up. Cardinals lead 2-1.
Yeah.
In the top of the ninth, they pulled him.
You wonder if he should have been in the top of the ninth.
Well, he finished with 104 pitches.
Most of the season, right?
What?
He hasn't had 100 pitches all year, has he?
Oh, I don't know.
Because they yanked him a couple times with no hitters.
Yeah, I think he had 99 the last no hitter that they pulled him. But I don't think he's gone over 100.
But in this instance, he gave up the run. And so they're like, all right, you're done. So Cardinals 2-1. And they're headed to the bottom of the ninth.
And during this conversation, I did take my pants off in here. I checked the label, and I'm wearing Glacier performance shorts. So when I go hiking around glaciers, I'll be
someone was hoping they were Hang Ten shorts.
They're not Hang Tens.
They're not. They're Glacier performance.
Glacier performance, $6.99. That's how Costco gets you.
Yeah. I tried to see if they're still on Costco.com. No, they are not.
You can't afford not to buy them. They're so cheap.
That's right. Very comfortable.
He loves them.
I do.
You know what I love? The Mets being up on the Yankees.
Well, I was tailgating him to the bathroom. Yeah. They do look nice.
Yeah, they look really nice.
I was looking at his butt.
Yeah, they framed it just right.
Yeah. The dad bod's looking good in those $7 shorts.
I got a solid lower half, and these fit just right. I got a solid upper half, too.
Look, Buck's all man. That's all you need to know. That's just confident man right there in his Hang Ten shorts, his Subaru outback.
Glacier performance.
It's funnier with Hang Ten.
I know.
Maybe some body glove.
I don't think there's anything performance about those.
They're performing on these thighs.
No, they're not.
Those milky white thighs are going to perform tonight when his wife sees them.
Hey-o.
All right, we've got, we've got virus news.
Oh.
And rethinking how life on Earth began.
I've been doing this a lot lately.
Scientists.
Aliens.
So we'll get to that next. 6 o'clock on The Fan.
Those scientists better check their hypotenuses, dude.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78 million pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.